is beautiful but deadly.
Where the beauty of makeup
meets the horror of true crime.
With Chuck
and Liz.
And today, we are going to be talking about the Martha Moxley murder.
Jace.
It is a big murder around these parts.
These here parts in Connecticut?
Yes, because it happened in Greenwich. Which, by the way, if you ever look up this case, it's spelled Greenwich, but no one calls it Greenwich here.
Greenwich. It's the rich part of Connecticut.
Which was so funny is that, like, we don't really go near Greenwich, so I never really saw it spelled out. And then when I saw it spelled out in one of my sources, it's like the murder in Greenwich, I was like, Greenwich? Where's Greenwich?
Yep.
Okay. So that's just a little Connecticut rant. Thank you. To begin talking about this case, we need to first talk about the victim, Martha Moxley, and give some details about who she was and where she lived. Martha was 15 at the time she was murdered. Her mother describes her as basically the perfect kid. Like, she was caught smiling in every single photo she was in, she was a straight-A student, and overall was liked by everyone that knew her. She was born August 16, 1960 in San Francisco, but eventually made her way to Greenwich, Connecticut with her two parents, Dorothy Moxley and John David Moxley, and her brother, John.
I didn't realize how old this case was. Okay.
Yeah, it happened in the 70s.
Jeez.
Okay. The Moxleys specifically lived in Bellhaven, which is a gated community in Greenwich. Everyone there was, like, rich. Like, not just, like, upper middle. No, rich.
Rich. They got money.
And it was home to prominent families like the Skakels. The Skakels are Kennedy relatives, and their patriarch, Rushton Skakel, was an heir to a coal fortune, and their family had lived there for three generations.
Jeez.
The Skakels were well-connected, and the family at this time consisted of Rushton and his seven children. The oldest is Rushton Jr., who was 19 at the time, Julie, Tommy, John, Michael, David, and Stephen. Their mother, Anne, had died of cancer in 1973. But underneath all of that money and the shiny veneer of the community held a toxic and broken family. Rushton was an alcoholic, and his sons had disciplinary issues, among many others. The Skakels lived down the street from the Moxleys. You turn left from Martha's house, and at the end of the street, then take a right, and the Skakels' house is right there.
So, like, they're not even just rich. They're old money.
Oh, yeah, they're old money.
Jeez.
Okay. So, the murder. It's a tradition around where we live. I don't know how far and wide this is. But the 30th of October is Mischief Night. Mm-hmm. Well, not as common anymore. Like, no one really does anything anymore.
It's not around here.
In the 70s, Mischief Night was, like, the event. You know, it was the thing to do. In the small neighborhood, it was even more exciting than Halloween. Martha went out that night and went to the Skakels, two friends, Sheila and Helen. Now, depending on the source I read, whoever is with Helen and Martha changes.
Oh. Okay.
So, for example, I read in one where it was, like, a guy, but Sheila, we find out, is the one that found Martha, and, like, I'm not sure.
That's
but
weird.
I think
okay.
It's Sheila and Helen.
Okay.
Helen was definitely there.
Yeah.
Okay. And, like, Sheila talked about it. I don't know, man. When they arrived, the three friends and Michael went into a car in the driveway and listened to music. At 8:45, Tommy joins them, and during this tries to make a move on Martha, but she declines. At 9:30, John and Rushton decided that they wanted to go to their cousin's house and invited everyone, including Martha. Martha declined, saying that she had to get home due to curfew. Michael did go, while his brother, Tommy, stayed. Martha then began to make her way home between 9:30 and 11, but Tommy did say to police that he was watching his TV by 10. So Martha must have left by then.
Hmm.
Tommy also said, after watching TV, he went to his room and did some homework. At around 9:50 to 10:30, many people, including Helen and Martha's mom, heard dogs furiously barking. Martha's mother, Dorothy, tried to stay up that night to greet Martha when she came home, but she fell asleep shortly after 11. The next morning, Dorothy woke up at around 2 a.m. and there was no sign of Martha, so she called Helen. Helen said she last saw Martha with the Skakels. Little did Dorothy know that Martha lay dead right outside her house, less than 200 yards from her front door. At 12 the next day, Sheila found Martha's body. When Martha left the Skakels, she began walking home when she was attacked with a golf club in her driveway, which left circular blood splatter. She was thought to have begun to run before being struck down again.
So Sheila found her, but she was outside Dorothy's house?
They were like family friends, grew up with each other, and everyone lived in the neighborhood.
If she was in the driveway, why didn't Dorothy realize
she was... She was in the driveway.
Okay, sorry.
She was not in the driveway. After being hit to the ground, the killer broke the golf club and used the shaft to pierce her throat, killing her. Her body was then dragged 60-ish feet to under a pine tree in her yard. During the altercation, the club had broken into four pieces. The head, two pieces of the shaft, and the handle. The handle has never been found. The club used was a Tony Penna gold club monogrammed set from the Skakel residence.
Interesting.
When Martha was found the next morning, she was face down with her pants and panties down to her knees. Later testing showed that Martha had not been sexually assaulted. In the coming years, there were no usable DNA, fingerprints, or hairs really at the scene. See, Henry Lee, who we've briefly touched on before, said he found two hairs that were microscopically similar to one of the suspects that we will talk about later. But later testing showed one was an Asian male's hair, which there are no Asian males in this case that I know of, and the other one was mysteriously destroyed. Lost.
It just went missing.
That cheeky evidence just walks off sometimes.
Walks off in someone's fucking pocket, maybe.
And the reason we're kind of dunking on Henry Lee is that he, in I believe the 90s, essentially got someone convicted for a very serious crime by either knowingly or unknowingly lying about evidence.
Yep.
By saying that there was blood on cloth where there was no blood.
Yep.
And so now every single case he has ever been a part of is being questioned.
Yeah, it has to be re-looked at.
So even in this instance, it's like, where did that Asian male hair come from? Yeah, and where did that other hair go?
Yeah.
Yep.
Because like we said, and I don't know if you are going to touch on this later, so you can cut this out if you want right now. Like, the Skakels are related to the Kennedys, who have obviously pull power here.
Everywhere.
And, like, in my opinion, for the right dollar amount, anyone can be bought.
Rushton also later gave police permission to take hair samples from Tommy and access his records. The police drained their pool, took soils... Oh, that's what I'm missing. I'm missing a sentence. Damn you!
Oh, no. I hate that.
The day that Martha was discovered, the 31st, Halloween, Rushton gave full permission to the police to look through his house. It was just a cursory search, though. Allegedly. We have a lot of back and forth on that. Family to the Skakels and people with a vested interest in the Skakels, perhaps being bought, can't prove it, say that there were thorough searches in that house. And it was like basically an open house and whatever. And there was no warrant needed.
Allegedly.
Others say it was a cursory search and they never got a warrant later. So, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., their cousin, or however that works out, said that Rushton also gave police permission to take hair samples from Tommy and access his records. The police allegedly also drained their pool, took soil samples, and regularly searched their garbage. He also said that their house was a, quote, informal neighborhood headquarters.
Interesting.
Both him and a detective who worked in this case, Stephen Carroll, says that there were thorough house searches, but there was no warrant needed. Because it was so thorough. Who needs a warrant when it's just, like, open?
This is kind of random. But Rushton, if that isn't a fucking old money name.
Right. And I found out this because RFK Jr. ended up writing a piece in The Atlantic, which, if you are going to read it, just warning, it is so biased.
Yeah.
Which, I'm sorry. But if it's your family, unless you were closer to the victim than you were the family, there is no way you can be unbiased.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, come on. Well, it's your family.
Let's re-say that. Even if you are closer to the victim, you're still going to be biased one way or another. There's no way to be unbiased in a situation like this.
Yeah.
Where you know either the family or the victim.
I'm saying that if your family is...
There's no way you can be unbiased towards your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to kill someone, there's no way I would be like, Atlantic, here's my thoughts on the situation.
Yeah, because she didn't fucking do it, bitch.
It's basically a hit piece. There are, like, three main suspects, two of which he's related to. And it's so weird that he happens to think that the third suspect, who he's not related to, did it.
Weird.
It's so it's how like that a happens. Hit piece against that poor man. I'll get into fucking it as hell. We talk about the suspects, but a hit piece. Okay. The autopsy. The autopsy showed that she took many great blows to her head. They were so forceful that the grooves of the golf club had been left in her face. She was hit in the head roughly 9 times before being stabbed. The stab went through her neck, pulling her hair with it.
Jeez.
And that is what killed her, not the blows to her head.
Jesus Christ. That is a bad way to go.
The suspects. Ken Littleton. What a name. Ken was a live-in tutor and basically acted as like a nanny. He was 23 at the time and had just moved into the house that very day.
He was a youngin.
Mm-hmm. By April 1976, he had been fired. He says it was because the boy's grades never improved, but RFK Jr. says it was because he had a drunk driving incident. Later in the summer of 1976, he was arrested in Nantucket for burglary while high on cocaine and drunk.
As you do.
He says later this was the only time he was on cocaine.
Me. I only did it one time, guys.
I mean, after this, I would stop doing cocaine, personally. Yeah. He was stealing from gift shops.
Well.
Littleton says he never knew. He never knew. Littleton says he didn't know who Martha was until the 31st when they announced that she was dead.
Hmm. Okay.
Ken says the Skakels had dinner at 6, and then he went to his room to watch TV with Tommy. Went to watch TV when Tommy eventually joined him. It wasn't until 76 that the police questioned him.
Interesting.
In 1991, Littleton wanted to help the police any way he could since they weren't really getting any, I don't know, suspects.
1991?
Yeah, this goes on for a while.
Jesus Christ!
So he agreed to be questioned by the police again without a lawyer. This led to 4 days of interrogation where he took 2 lie detectors and failed. But during this interrogation, he claims that one of the detectives screamed in his face multiple times, "You killed Martha Moxley." And this, I believe, is where it begun, where they were like, "Listen, we can't get any real suspects here. Let's just convince this man that he did it."
That's so fucked.
Because at this point, he was an alcoholic. He would be going in and out of mental hospitals. He was just in a rough way.
And he was in that neighborhood.
And he was in that neighborhood. And wasn't a skakel, more importantly.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was like, they got everyone in on this. The police force, his ex-wife. It was like everyone was trying to convince him that he killed Martha Moxley.
That's sick.
At one point, the police had gotten his ex-wife Mary Baker's help and started recording their calls. And in these calls, Mary essentially is saying, "You confessed you killed Martha. Let's talk about that." But then on the stand was like, "Yeah, he never told me he killed Martha."
That's so funny.
Never said anything incriminating, nothing.
So why, like, did the police convince her that he did it?
I'm not like, sure.
What would make her want to do that? Just hate him?
Got divorced. She claims that he threatened to kill her at one point, but honestly, I don't trust Mary Baker. She apparently was also an alcoholic.
Oh, et cetera, et cetera. Fuck's sake.
And, like, money talks.
That is true. That is true.
But I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns in this case, as we will see at the end, seeing how no one has no one at this point is convicted for her murder.
They've never solved it?
What?
So not really.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
So what I'm hearing is, we know who it is, but they haven't been convicted.
I don't know. Because they botched it from the beginning.
Fuck.
It's a classic situation of like, this never happens here. Which, like, murder happens literally everywhere. And if you think it's not going to happen in your neighborhood, you're naive. It can happen literally everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. And it had been 30 years since their last murder, whatever. I don't know.
I don't know.
It just sounds like a lot of excuses
to me. It was
also
the 70s, so.
To try to cover up your botched work.
Oh, yeah.
That's just me. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says that on the 30th, Littleton took the older kids to the Bellhaven Club for dinner. Littleton told police that they all had a Heineken, and that's it. But Tom and Michael allegedly said that they had many beers and hard liquor.
Even though they're underage?
Yes.
Jinkies. Well, it was the 70s.
Also money. What are you going to say to Kennedy alums?
That's true. You can't have that liquor?
That's true.
And that's how you end up.
Literally, the 15-year-old had already been an alcoholic for 2 years. Like, come on.
I forgot about that. Thank you.
On a taped call in 1992, he told his ex-wife he had an alcoholic blackout the night of the murder. But like I said, I don't trust this. There are multiple confessions in this case, and I trust literally none of them.
Fuck.
Even the guy that I can kind of see having done it, I don't trust his confessions, and I'll talk about why.
Okay.
The next one is Tommy Skakel. He was the last person to see Martha alive and lied about it. Originally, Tommy said that he and Martha kissed for a bit before she went home. He originally told this to police. Later, he told... Okay. So, Rushton essentially wanted to get an accurate look of, like, did my sons do this? So, he hired a team of private investigators to interview everyone that was a part of the case and put together a report. And during these interviews, it's damning for the Skakels. Because they lied about a shit ton. And one of these things is Tommy lied about what he did with Martha. In this report, he says that him and Martha partook in mutual masturbation.
Oh.
So, we'll get back to this. And then at 9:50, she set off. Okay. So, literally nothing to prove this. But it seemed like Martha was not into Tommy. Because she wrote in her diary on September 19th, quote, Michael was so totally out of it that he was being a real asshole in his actions and words. He kept telling me that I was leading Tommy on when I don't like him like that, except as a friend.
Mm.
So first of all, she only liked him as a friend. But the other part of it is, that would make sense why there's no sign of sexual trauma or anything like that.
Yeah, that's fair.
But also, it's an easy thing to say if they were to find any
semen
or something on her. I feel like it was mutual. What's Martha gonna say?
Interesting.
This also comes back with DNA. Just wait. Well, they didn't really know about DNA, but if they found semen or something.
Yeah, then they would be like, ho, ho, ho.
Okay. Continuing. This is minor, but after he said he was watching TV, he said he did work on an assignment, but he had no such assignment. To me, it sounds like a dumb kid thing to
that
say.
That is so
and
fucking stupid.
And then I did some homework.
Some homework that I don't actually have. Jesus Christ.
Which, if my math is correct, it would have been after Martha died anyways.
So it doesn't even matter.
So it doesn't even matter. Okay. Michael went on to try to write a book. And in the proposal for this book, he says that he was beaten by both his father and Tommy. And he described himself as a scapegoat. So if we believe Michael, Tommy has the pension?
Yeah.
The ability to be violent. Mm. On the 31st, he was allegedly questioned for 6 hours. This is coming from RFK Jr.
Is Michael older or younger than Tommy?
Tommy's 17 at the time. Michael is 15.
Okay.
So Michael is Martha's age. I'm not sure he did it, though. Like, there's not a ton of evidence,
Tommy?
Period.
Yeah. Or Michael?
Kind of all of them, honestly. Yeah. Like, if I was on this jury, I would not convict any of them.
Because there isn't enough solid evidence.
No, there's... Like, nothing.
It's all circumstantial.
Like, I could say in my, like, gut, I feel a certain person did it, but I can't say, oh, yeah,
yeah,
he definitely did
it.
Michael. Michael placed himself at the crime scene.
Oh, God.
So, initially, he told police that he returned home from his cousin's at 11:30 and went to sleep. In actuality, he came home, tried to sleep, but couldn't because he was so horny. So, he tried to peep through various women's windows,
oh,
trying to find a naked
me.
Woman to no avail. So he decided, I'm going to go to Martha's house. He climbed up a tree. He started trying to get her attention through the window, but as we know, she was dead. So he decided, you know what? I'm going to masturbate. So he masturbated in the tree before going home, which puts himself at the crime scene and puts his semen at the crime scene.
Well, then you can say, well, that's why my DNA was there. Interesting.
A little pervert.
Facts. A little peeping Tom.
He also retold this story in 98. When he was trying to get that book made, he had a ghostwriter, so he was trying to record all of his stories for that ghostwriter, and this is one of the stories. I don't know why he thought this was a good idea.
Why? He's like, yeah, this is a really great story. People are going to eat this up.
People
what
love
the
a pervert.
Fuck?
Ken says that Rushton barred police from seeing his son's school and mental health records, which, in the Atlantic article that RFK Jr. made, he specifically said Tommy. They were allowed Tommy's records, not Michael's. But you could also say that they weren't looking at Michael at the time, so they wouldn't really ask for them, but no Michael records.
Interesting.
He allegedly confessed multiple times. To make a very, very long story short, as we've spoken about before, Michael was an alcoholic by 13. He ended up getting in a drunk driving accident later and was sent to a main school called the Elon School. This school was like a rehab of sorts for kids with addictions and mental health issues. Hmm?
That's the place that abuses all the kids, right?
Yep.
Oof.
It's like, if you guys watch Handmaid's Tale, that scene where they're all in the circle with one of the women in the middle, and they're just like, shame. Sinner, 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 shame, shame, cry, yeah. Baby, cry, baby. It's that.
Jesus.
Like, they essentially, they torture these kids. And they force confessions out of everyone for the dumbest shit. So them forcing confessions out of Michael, I don't trust it. No, if, like,
doesn't mean anything.
If the administrators at this school were officers, his confessions would be thrown out because they were so openly coerced.
Yeah.
So I don't trust any of those.
No.
There's this whole section on the school's wiki that details some of the controversies, which include 11 kids being removed due to abuse, accusations of sleep deprivation as punishment, and even a death. So.
What the fuck?
I don't trust it. And also, every other kid there was a troubled child.
Is that school still open or is it closed?
Closed in 2011.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm not shocked, though, because, like, the ranch or whatever that Dr. Phillips was able to was open. And that's literally just abusing children.
Yup.
But, like,
fucked.
It was a bunch of troubled kids there. Like, I don't really trust it, to be honest.
That's fucking insane.
It would be unfair if, like, I trusted this Michael confession with all of these, but I didn't trust Ken's. Like, that's not fair. I think they were both coerced.
Yeah.
And forced to say it. Ken Littleton says he saw Michael demolish a squirrel. Like, absolutely demolish it with a golf club. He says, quote, the small furry animal had been mashed with a golf club and then crucified. Had been mashed with a golf club and then crucified. Nailed to a patch of grass with golf tees. Ken said, did you do this, Michael? And Michael said, who else could have done it, Kenny? That's what Ken says. A big argument against Michael being the killer is stature. Allegedly, at the time, he was around 120 pounds.
Okay.
But I don't think this would have stopped him. Martha wrote in her journal, quote, then Michael was being such an ass. They all started fighting because he was being such a big he-man.
Mm.
He kept calling Tom and John Fs, and they were ready to fist fight. So I said, come on, Jackie, let's go. So obviously, Michael felt strongly enough in his abilities to try to take on his two older brothers.
Yeah.
And this place, like,
just
because
he's 120 pounds doesn't mean that he's strong.
He's not strong.
He's not strong?
You said it doesn't mean he's strong.
Oh, yes, thank you. I forgot to throw the knot in there.
It doesn't mean he's not strong. If you've ever tried to, like, I don't know, break up, like, two little kids fighting, it's like they have the power of, like, Satan behind them. Yeah. Unbridled, like, power.
For instance, looking at you, you would never guess that you're, like, the fucking Hulk. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Like, you can never guess. Especially when someone is angry.
Oh, 100%. And if they're, like, adrenaline's pumping, oh,
and if they're drunk,
started.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. He could do it. But the one thing I'm thinking of is, like, how could a 15-year-old, like, have no trace on the crime scene?
Based on?
Yes. essentially what I just told you.
Oh, okay.
On March 14th, he was arraigned for murder in a juvenile court because it happened when he was 15. In 2001, it was decided he'd be tried as an adult. On May 7th, 2002, the trial began, and he was represented by Michael Sherman. On June 7th, 2002, he was found guilty for the murder of Martha Moxley and sentenced to 20 years to life. In November 2003, Michael appeals to the Connecticut Supreme Court, saying that many aspects of the trial were mishandled.
Fair.
He should have been in juvenile court, statute of limitations expired, and his counsel wasn't good, essentially.
Fair.
In January 2006, the Connecticut Supreme Court rejected the appeal. In 2013, Michael's new attorney again appealed on the basis of ineffective counsel. And in October 2013, he was granted a new trial.
Oh, wow.
In November, he was released but monitored with GPS, among other requirements. In 2016, the Supreme Court reinstated his conviction. But in 2018, the prosecutors tried to revoke his bail and make him return to prison.
That's a lot.
And then on May 4th, the Connecticut Supreme Court then reordered a new trial due to ineffective counsel. In 2020, it was decided he would not be retried.
So he just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So no one's in jail for her arrest.
Wow.
For her murder.
So do you think it was Michael?
I don't know.
Like, who do you, if you had to pick one?
The thing with Michael, another thing, is that, like, I don't know if he could have dragged her body. Because I was watching a documentary on Oxygen, mm-hmm. which I will link. But they had someone recreate the crime scene, and they kind of dissect it. And it almost looked like they specifically wanted to put her by that pine tree, because it was, like, zigs and zags. They could have put her, like, near, like, some, like, 10-inch tall grass, but they didn't. It was like they specifically wanted her to go to that spot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he would have been able to carry essentially dead weight.
Well, hear me out. Let's say he murders her in anger. And then he just calls one of his older brothers or his dad.
His dad was out.
Okay. Well, so one of his older brothers.
Perhaps. Yeah, I think most likely would have been Tommy. But at the same time, Tommy did like her, so... It could have been Ken, but at the same time, it's like, would Ken really cover up for the Skeagles for this long?
Yeah, there's a lot at play here.
He did say the Skeagles were trying to kill him. The Kennedys were after him.
Well, I'm not shocked.
They're after everyone, damn. They're gonna be after us.
Fuck.
What was I gonna say?
I am a fan of the Kennedys, let me put it out there.
But, so, RFK Jr.'s article. He essentially said that his working theory...
Here we go.
was, from what I can recollect, I was so mad reading the article because it made no goddamn sense.
She had to call me in a rage.
That Ken hated the sounds of dogs barking. So he heard the dogs barking and was like, I gotta stop this shit. So he grabbed a golf club, I'm assuming to, I guess, beat the dogs or something.
Which is fucked, whatever.
To go stop the dogs. He saw Martha and Tommy together and got so mad.
For some reason.
That he followed her and killed her when she rejected his advances.
Makes sense.
Makes so much sense, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know how they haven't convicted him yet based on just that theory alone.
Yep.
But, like, they tried to... he tried to throw everything on this man.
For no reason. Well, not no reason.
Yeah, not no reason. He tried to throw everything on this man. And, like, I feel kind of bad for Ken because it really seems like they're trying to convince him and essentially gaslight him into believing he killed Martha.
Yeah.
When it's like, what the fuck?
A lot.
Leave Ken alone, thank you. And then they're trying to pin, like, a string of murders on him.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
Which, I'm like, the only evidence that I've seen is that he happened to be in the vicinity when they died.
That's it.
I'm convinced. I'm surprised he has not been sued for slander. I'm actually not that surprised, because Ken probably doesn't have any money. But...
But also... Who wants to go against the Kennedys who have infinite money?
Yeah. There could be multiple books, I probably have, based on just the Kennedys doing illegal shit. And yes. Not even high level. Just like drunk driving, petty for example.
Shit. Yep.
It's just, there's not enough for me to be like, oh yeah.
It's definitely
did it.
Yeah.
I really don't think it's Ken. Because like,
is
what's
it possible
the motive?
It was some other person we don't even know?
That's what they try to say. It was like a drifter or something. But like,
but see, so, that's a little more unlikely because you're more likely to be like harmed by someone you know. But
that, and also it was so brutal. The way they stabbed her, they literally went through her hair, through her neck, and pulled the hair out the other side. It was brutal.
So it was more like intimate.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And they're trying to move her out of the way, but not clean the blood splatter. It was like they didn't want anyone to see her, but they didn't care. That people
so
knew
it was
that
almost
was
potentially like they maybe were remorseful.
Something. And she was face down, which is weird. I don't know. The whole thing. And then the pants pulled down with her panties. I don't understand either.
Especially unless there was no sexual assault.
Unless they didn't touch her.
Mm.
But they, I don't know, masturbated perhaps?
Mm.
Which would explain both Tommy and Michael being like, we just like happened to masturbate near her body that night. Weirdest thing. What a coinkydink.
That's a good point. Interesting. People are sick.
The only one I'm not sure about at all is Ken.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, he could have gotten the golf clubs, but he moved in that day. So how did he know that the golf clubs were right there? He didn't know Martha. Like, there's no evidence that he knew Martha at all.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have motive. And then opportunity. How would he know where she lived? Like, would have had to have seen her leave with Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Seen Tommy and her go their separate ways. Follow Martha.
Which I guess is possible, but not probable, I don't think.
And then why would he go out of the way to, like, go around Martha's house, essentially, to hide her?
Yeah. Suspicionous, I would say.
It doesn't make sense. And then, like, I don't know. There was this theory that, like, Michael also liked Martha, in that he was always, like, the younger brother that was picked on, so, like, maybe that was, like, the breaking point of him thinking that, like, Martha liked Tommy or whatever.
So he got angry.
I guess, but that just seems so, like, I don't know. That seems so movie script to me.
Yeah.
And then, if Tommy were to help move the body, can you imagine being like, dude, I was just so jealous.
Yeah. Interesting. That's a lot. Of course there's Kennedy's involved. Allegedly.
But yeah, I thought this was fitting because it's Connecticut. It was happened on Halloween. Well, not Halloween night, but
the day before.
Mischief night.
Perfect.
Who, based on this, do you think it would be?
I'm leaning towards Michael. He, like, makes the most sense, but I also don't have enough evidence to back it up, so.
Thank you, prosecution on the case. It was all circumstantial.
Yeah.
Because there was no physical evidence, but at the same time, was it there was no physical evidence or something happened to the physical evidence?
I'm just saying.
I don't know. The whole thing was a fucking mess.
Crazy.
I think that's all for Martha. And another thing I want to do soon is an update on my previous cases, because there have been updates.
Oh, okay.
Especially with Mr. Durst, the character himself.
Oh, God.
All right. Moving on to Lizzie's section.
So, what I'm going to be discussing today is perfumes. Something a little different. A couple months ago, I had gotten this, like, perfume sampler bundle. Like, the ones that come in, like, the little mini jars of the perfumes.
Okay.
Loved them. I can't find that same bundle on Ulta anymore, so they may have gotten rid of it. They do have other ones, though. I think they come out with, like, updated ones, you know?
Okay.
Because, like, right now they have an Ariana Grande one that has, like, 5 of her perfumes. I didn't realize she had so many fucking perfumes, first of all. So, I'm just going to touch on the ones that I really liked that I keep using. So, first of all, one of the ones that actually wasn't in the bundle that I'll talk about, that I bought separately, was Ariana Grande's Cloud perfume. That is my favorite perfume of all time. And I especially love, because I, like, got the smaller version originally.
Okay.
The bigger version is so cute. It's, like, the holder. So, yes, Ariana Grande Cloud perfume. So, the base is a little cloud, and the perfume itself sits inside the cloud, so you can take out the perfume bottle. And then the top of the perfume bottle is another little cloud. It's very cute. I love it. Smells amazing. So for the cloud perfume, she just came out with, like, an updated one. It's like cloud perfume too. And I got, like, a like one of those paper samples in my Ulta magazine. Not as good. Not anywhere near as good, in my opinion.
Yeah, I smelled it too, and it kind of smelled like, I don't know, vaguely papery.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, bitch. But I just didn't like it. Okay, so for the sampler. One of the ones that was in it was Carolina Herrera. It's called the Good Girl perfume.
I'm Good Goyle.
I hate you.
Good Goyle by Four.
And it's a little shoe. A little high heel. How cute is that? This smells really fucking good. I really like it. And then another one that I really liked was another Ariana Grande one. Thank You Next. Not as good as the Cloud perfume. But still good.
It's the second male lead to Cloud Perfume's male lead.
Say that again?
It's the second male lead to Cloud Perfume's male lead.
Thank you, yes. I was like, what the fuck are you saying to me right now? Okay, so another one that I don't really like is Clinique's Happy Perfume. I feel like it's like, that perfume's been around for a long fucking time. It's old lady perfume. I don't know why they continue to put it in perfume samplers.
What does it look like?
It looks cheap, too. I'm gonna pull it up.
It looks like a nail polish bottle.
Yeah, it's weird.
And, like, the cap is bigger than the actual perfume section.
Like, it's just not, it's not nice.
It looks cheap.
Yeah.
It looks like a really tiny bottle of, like, dry shampoo.
Fuck, it does.
With the cap and everything. Or, like, hairspray. It has a hairspray cap. That's what it is. Yeah. It's a hairspray cap.
And like I said, it smells like old lady perfume, in my opinion.
Old ladies deserve better than this.
I agree. Get the cloud perfume.
And it's not even fully round. It's like almond shaped. Oval.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Clinique!
I'm not a fan.
Their packaging is always kind of cheap.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm not a huge fan of theirs in general. I've just never been a huge fan of their stuff.
I don't think we're their
demographic.
Market. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Mom used to use them for a long time, and I have no idea why.
Me. I want to say the one that I had also had a Givenchy perfume.
Oh, Givenchy.
But I wasn't a huge fan of that one. And there were some that I got, they smelled really similar.
Did you smell them all one after another?
Anyways, don't embarrass me in front of the people. Make me look like an asshole.
Do you want me to cut it out?
You can.
Well, can I? Or do you want me to?
If you could.
After the smackdown of last episode.
What was the smackdown of last episode?
Me showing you up on your topic.
Ah, fuck yeah. Listen, I don't want to look like an asshole. That's right. The one that I had gotten was actually a summer bridal sampler.
Bridal?
Yeah. It's supposed to be like bridal. That's why I thought it was funny that they had thank you next. As one of the perfumes.
I mean, she got married, so like, hey, you worked.
Fair. But they don't have it anymore. Because summer's over. So now, I'll talk about perfumes.
I didn't know that after summer was over, he could never get married again.
No, you can't. Sorry.
That's you don't only get married in summer.
That's the rules.
Can't wear white after Labor Day. You know
that. That's what I'm saying. So now I'll talk about some perfumes that I would like to try. So, for my boyfriend's sister's birthday. So, originally she wanted the KKW Beauty, the first body perfume, but they discontinued it. I tried finding it on eBay. They don't have it. I was like, okay, I'll get her the second one. Reading the description, it sounded really nice. Well, as I was researching this and pulled up the second KKW Beauty body, they discontinued that one too. I literally bought it last month. It's discontinued now. They only have the third one and it's on sale. So I bet you they're getting rid of that one too.
You should buy it and then scalp people.
I like the way you think.
My evil little mind.
So yes. So I would suggest trying the KKW Beauty body too because I really liked it. She let me like smell it.
Amazing. You already gave it to her?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this can be kept in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's fine. Smelled amazing. Can't buy it now.
And, you know, I would recommend not buying it either because don't support the Kardashians.
That too. So another one that I would love to try that's launching.
I could write a book on why. I could write a book about why I don't like the Kardashians. And, like, I'm not one of those basic people that's like, they don't have any talent. Eat shit.
They have famous for no reason. That's not what I care about.
No, they have 101 reasons why they're just shitty people and why I don't like them for that reason. And not just trying to be an edgelord pick-me girl, being like, they have no talent. Eat shit. Most people don't have any fucking talent.
Yeah, who fucking cares?
You don't have any fucking talent.
Yeah, I don't care that they're famous for no reason. I care that they're famous for no reason and do fucking nothing with their platform, really.
Except or do
the
harm.
Absolute wrong thing.
Yes.
So, Billie Eilish is coming out with a perfume.
What a simp.
I want it so bad. It looks so nice. And you know it's going to smell good.
Do I?
I do.
I feel like it's, I don't know if you'd like it. I feel like if I had to make a guess on what it's going to smell like, I feel like it's going to smell more like, you know, like unisex perfumes, but more on the musky side.
The fragrance features cocoa, soft spices, and vanilla.
Well, aren't I fucking right?
So, yes, but I want to try it so bad.
Is that even your thing? I don't associate you with that kind of scent.
So this is going to sound potentially weird. I usually like more like floral scents or like, you know how the cloud perfume smells?
No.
Okay. Well, like sweeter. I usually like that kind of stuff. But around fall and Christmas, it hits where I'm like, vanilla, chai, cinnamon. Things like that. Very specific.
I don't know why, but that reminded me of Cellblock Tango. Vanilla.
Chai. Hate you.
Cinnamon.
Tango.
Cicero.
Oh my god. At some point, I would also really like to try Chanel No. 5. Like, I know it's very basic, but like, just to know, you know?
But it's like to be rich.
Yeah.
Why does it smell like absolutely nothing? It's insane.
It smells like shit. Oh my god. That's just my fucking luck.
I don't like perfumes or hand creams.
Well, yeah, that's because you're rare sensitive to smells.
Yeah, and I hate the feeling of hand cream. Fucking.
Oh my god.
Monty, honey, no.
Oh, I love that video.
But I'm very sensitive to smell. Like, no smells is my favorite smell, thank you.
Oh my god.
There are very few smells that I like, and I hate fake scents. Like, perfumes, Febreze, things like that.
Sanitizer.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I tried to buy into that kind of, like, trend in, what was it, intermediate school, middle school for me, when everyone was like, Bath & Body Works, but I was like, what?
See, I'm the opposite.
I know.
I love smells. Let me tell you, in my room right now, I got this thing from Trader Joe's. It's cinnamon. It looks like a broom for, like, you know, Halloween, fall, you know, love it. It smells amazing. I also have the little Airwick plugins that have apple cinnamon scent. And then I also at night light candles before my shower. So when I come out of the shower, it smells extra nice.
Why don't you get those things that you put in the shower and they, like, melt?
Don't tempt me.
I'll pass on the message to mom and dad, it looks like, for a fucking stuffer. But yeah, the
perfect.
Only, I have, like, sensory issues. Like, the only smelly thing I like is, like, the real things. So, like, baked cookies, candles, things like that.
Interesting.
I like hair soap and, like, body soap. I do like that.
Interesting. Like, what's your favorite scent?
I don't know. I just, maybe it's like the clean smell, but I like smelling my own hair. It's just like the basic Dove shit.
That's fair.
But I like smelling my hair. I'm just like that.
Your hair usually smells good.
Thanks. But yeah, I don't wear a perfume or anything. I have a setting spray that smells like mildly good, and I'm like, this is it. If I were to ever wear a perfume, it would be that smell.
I hate you. Oh my god.
It's the SpongeBob one. I just think it smells real good.
I hate you. You'd wear a fucking SpongeBob perfume and I can see it.
Listen, if it smelled like the setting spray, yes.
I hate you. Well, it's been real. It's been fun.
Oh, that's it? I thought we could talk more.
Well, you can talk more.
I'm just talking to myself. It's fine.
Me.
What smells do I not like? Ooh, what's like a weird smell you can't stand? I cannot stand the smell of grapefruit anything.
I was just gonna say for you.
Actual grapefruits? Fine, I'll put my whole face in a grapefruit.
No.
Fruit. But, like, I had this face scrub that I opened it. I was so excited to use. And it, like, grapefruit smells like vomit to me. And I'm not being like, it smells like shit or whatever. No, it literally smells like when I vomit, that's what it smells like.
Weird. It's like the acidity.
It's like rubbing, like, my vomit on my face. I know. It's, like, the grossest smell for me.
So, you know I love scents. But there is one scent. It's very specific. I can't do.
I want to guess. Is okay. It floral?
No.
Give me category.
Fruit.
Fruit?
Yeah.
Raspberry.
Yes.
Are you like Hannah Montana?
Like the fake, like mom gets those, what are they, the twist ones are like the Glade or whatever. And you like twist them open and they have like the shit in the cone or whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. The raspberry, it genuinely makes me nauseous. Like I hate that smell. And that's the only scent ever that bothers me.
And that's like, when people talk about, like, freshly shaved grass, I'm like, that's a smell?
I kind of get that.
Shaved? Is that the word? Cut. Freshly cut
grass. Freshly cut grass. Shaved. There's the other with a little razor.
A Gillette.
Oh,
sorry, not like. I just generally don't like scents.
Yeah. You're not a scent kind of gal.
But yeah, I guess that's it from us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We haven't done this in a while. No. Follow us on Instagram, Beautiful But Deadly Pod. Leave us a review. Send us an email at beautifulbutdeadly@podcast.com. No. At gmail.com.
beautifulbutdeadlypodcast@gmail.com. Jesus Christ. We haven't done it in a little while. It's fine.
Is there anything
else? I think that's it. Okay, thank you.
Thanks for listening. Bye.